CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Pucknutters. It is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. I am obviously playing with a limp today with a hoarse voice for reasons I cannot discuss publicly. Dwayne Long will have to carry us, but he's good at that. Dwayne, how goes it?
We seem to be getting back to normal. You know, look, we had a spring game, had a spring practices, didn't have to cancel one. So now we're getting ready. I'm interested to see what's going to leak out on the final depth chart going into fall. That's going to be interesting. I think we may be hearing more about the transfer portal than we want to.
We now know the transfer portal is a way of life. We're going to break the spring game down pretty easily here. Offense before the break, defense afterwards. Dwayne, let's start with the offense and the quarterbacks. The general report is CJ Stroud, Kyle McCord, Jack Miller in order of performance. In my opinion, I thought Miller actually played pretty well. I thought they all looked pretty good and showed a ton of talent. The experience isn't there, but the depth and talent is.
I don't know how anybody could see it any different, Dan. I mean, Stroud was just, to me, he was one, and the others were the field. You know, they McCord in particular, there were a couple of throws he made. It was like, whoa. And the decision, you know, that's so much about this. Yeah, you got to have the arm. It starts there. But the next thing you got, you know, he said he's seeing what he wanted to see. Bang, the ball's coming out of there. Yeah, he had some throws that were okay. Now we see what the fuss was about this kid. Miller looked good. And I tell you in particular, before the interception, when he threw the interception, it just seemed to go from really looking great to looking decent. You know, he's got a really, really good arm. No question about that. But if you're setting a depth chart right now, I don't know how you could not look at McCord as number two. Stroud, absolutely, no question. He is the man. You know, we heard going into the spring game, just kept popping up that he was getting most of the reps. Well, we see why now. He looked like he had played. He looked like a returning veteran, not a kid who's never thrown a pass in a college game. So I'm real confident. I go into any game with any of the three, to be honest. We haven't had a quarterback room like this for a while. I can't believe we're going to hold on to it. You know, we got quarterbacks always transferred. It's always been a thing. There's only one that's going to play 90% of the time or more. And the number three guy in particular, he's gone. So I don't know how long we're going to keep hold of Miller or McCord. Just hope we can. I think we've got a better chance of hanging on to Miller because of the relationship that he's developed with Day over several years. He was Day's handpicked guy, and you can see why a kid can gun it. You just want a guy to stand back there and throw it in, just stand in the pocket and throw it. And Miller would be a good choice.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Ohio State have as much different talent at one spot as they do at wide receiver. Even the young guys flashed. The freshmen, Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison, are both fantastic. Try and put in perspective just how much talent they have at receiver and what you're expecting.
I don't know if you can put it in perspective, Dan. That's crazy what's going on in there. I have never been – I'm 61 years old. I've been watching football since I was 8 years old. And I can't – and, you know, very closely since my 20s to where, you know, I'm looking at rosters and paying attention to recruiting. I've never seen a position stack like that. you'd have to go back to the Woody Hayes times when you didn't even know how much talent they had. You know, they were unlimited scholarships, do whatever the hell they wanted to do. It's just crazy. Harrison, I remember noticing that he's sitting on the sidelines beside Olave, and just how big he is. He's a huge kid. And he's had a father who was not a physical specimen like he is, who was one of the greatest wide receivers ever to play in the NFL. Well, he obviously learned something. He runs routes already. He's do a 10-yard out. He's going to do a 10-yard out. Not going to be 9.5. It's not going to be 10.5. It's going to be 10. He is precision. He's got hands, and he's big. So, you know, you're thinking, how could this possibly be an even deeper room? Because let's be honest, we were talking about a number of the other receivers, and Harrison, he's good. But anyway, back to these guys. That's how the talk was. But right now, he could start. Don't say he can't start. The kid we saw out there running around out there doing exactly what he's supposed to do, plus he's got all the physical talent in the world. Don't tell me he couldn't be a starter. And I just don't believe Jameson Williams is locked down that third spot. We know we're going to see Wilson. We know we're going to see Olave. But Egbuka and Harrison both said, hey, check me out over here. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And there's going to be a lot of rotation. So, you know, these guys are running routes. They're running a lot out there. So having a rotation is even more important than you think it is. When you get into the real nitty gritty of it.
And I actually think Jackson Smith and Ajigbo may be in the slot. Harrison just brings a different size factor to the group. You can already see the AJ Green love coming. I was very impressed with the running backs. I actually was really impressed with Evan Pryor when I first got to see him run with the ball. He has kind of that lean forward burst that I didn't know he had. Once again, loaded at an offensive skill position.
It's a position that we don't talk about being loaded. But maybe we needed to see this to see it. I mean, everybody that I've talked to that watched the game said, yeah, you know, they got I thought Crowley looked good.
Yep.
Pryor absolutely did. But then there's Henderson, and everyone says, yeah, that's another level right there. That kid right there, we're going to see. I don't think we're going to keep these running backs. There's no way we're going to keep six of them. Somebody's going to get out of here. And then you got Mayan Williams. He didn't get to do his thing because he's meatball. He needs to make contact and run through tackles. And I noticed during the broadcast, Laurinaitis threw out there that when he's meatball now, but when he came in, everybody's calling him fat boy. So he's gotten his weight under control, and he's short, and he's hard to get a hold. How do you get down and hit him low? And if you hit him high, he may take you with him. I mean, he's a problem. So, and Teague didn't get to have the opportunity to do anything to reclaim his number one job. He lost it. Let's be honest. Trey Sermon took the job from him. And I haven't seen anything that makes me think that we've got to see Teague a lot, and it didn't get any better. I mean, going back to the loss to Clemson 2 years ago, he didn't do anything to claim the job. So you got to wonder what's his future going to be, missing out on this spring. That's two springs in a row. So we'll see what's going to happen. Him and Steel Chambers, you wonder about their futures with what's in front of them. Because there's, you know, obviously Henderson's going to take that job, promise you. Then you got Crowley in there, and Crowley's a big dude. I didn't realize he was that big. And as you said, if you're not impressed with Pryor, I mean, come on. you don't know what you're talking about if you don't see Pryor as in the mix. And Mayan Williams, he's coming in with the momentum. He was playing well at the end of the season. So it's a deep group. I'm talking about Teague and Steel Chambers not being that at the bottom of that sick man depth chart. They could be starters in a lot of places. So it is a very deep group.
It's no fun to be an offensive lineman in a spring game. There were also some injuries that had different guys in there. Who jumped out to you?
Mumford. He looked healthy. He was moving very well. I was noticing him on his technique. Yeah, it's not fun to be in there. No, it's all you're doing is standing around trying to keep the quarterback from getting killed. Yeah, it wasn't fun, but he jumped out at me. Petit Frere was not in there. Harry Miller was not in there. We just didn't see what we, you know, it's really not worth talking about because the guys that are going to be in there weren't in there. I liked what I saw out of Jones at center. He looks solid in there. He looks ready to play football. Said the offensive line, it's really not something worth talking about yet.
We're going to come back and talk about the defense and a big reason why the offensive line did not have a fun day.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
All right, we are back. There were several dudes who really impressed me that I wasn't sure about, but there's no way to talk about the defense unless you talk about the fact that the San Francisco 49ers sent Nick Bosa and put him in a Jack Sawyer jersey. Your thoughts?
That says it right there, because that's the first thing I thought. The first sack he got was classic Nick Bosa. I'm going to grab you by your pads, and I'm going to shove you into the quarterback. This guy's not big enough to be doing this yet. He's not supposed to be. I mean, he just – it was like getting bulldozed. He just lifted him and moved him. And then he ran around him a few times. And I mean, it was ridiculous. And one that he didn't get, you know, they giving him credit for four sacks. He also knocked the ball out of, was it Miller or McCord's hand?
It was McCord. It was the first time McCord had ever been hit and the ball came right out.
You know, he just the spectacle watching him just run around these guys. And you know, then they're setting up on the outside, and what's he do? He gets up underneath their pads and shoves them back. It really did. I stopped the same thing. We've got a Nick Bosa right here. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know it's hyperbole, and you don't want to compare, you know, an 18-year-old kid to arguably, you know, one of the top three or four defensive ends in the NFL, but he's a beast, man. And you can tell he was running his mouth, too. His helmet was popping around. He's as good in a debut in terms of flash matching the hype that I've seen in a long time. We talk about hype trains. This dude needs like a hype terminal for multiple trains. Linebacker was the position I was most concerned about coming in. I was super impressed with Taraja Mitchell and Craig Young, man. You want to talk about a guy who has an unlimited upside and future. Craig Young jumped out to me.
Yeah, well, he's in a position that is really coming in vogue. It's something that you need. One other thing I was going to say about Sawyer was if Nicholas Petit-Frere was in there and he was doing this, it would have been even that much more impressive. But getting back to what you're saying, yeah, Craig Young, come on. You want to talk about a debut. He's a kid that we didn't even know, you know, where's he going to play, what, but he sure showed he belongs on the field. How can he not be on the field? That position where, you know, it's a small linebacker, big safety. You know, it's the 4-2-5 is pretty standard anymore, Dan. And you need that guy who can be that number five guy, who can come in and he's strong enough to play at the line of scrimmage, but he can cover. So Craig Young looks like he's going to be a name. You know, you need to remember his number because he's going to be out there and he's going to be making things happen. Taraja Mitchell had the hit of the game in particular. Yeah, he nailed a guy. Another one that jumped out at me, two more really. Jerron Cage really played very well in this game. He showed a lot of technique in there. and beat his man several times. So that's a name, you know, and we needed another tackle to step up. So him doing that, you know, we saw him coming on at the end of last year. He carried it over. There's several times he was in the backfield. The other guy, Ryan Watts. And it isn't just the interception. That was not the best ball from Miller, but it was still, he was where he was supposed to be, and he made the play. Had a couple of other good plays out there. So, you know, it just, if we get one more cornerback, that's a good thing. And he played well. He's a big kid. You know, you got to have big corners. When you got Marvin Harrison's running around out there, 5'9" corners are not going to cut it. I don't care how quality they are. So I thought he really stepped up and helped us. Ransom, he was good. You got to be optimistic coming out of this, Dan. We flashed a little bit. We got some young guys that are saying, okay, all I needed was get my foot on the field. So here we go, and we got to be really happy about that. I'm excited. I was like, you know, we are so young. And I was going, I'd start that conversation in my head with, we've got so much talent, but I'd always come around to, we are so young. So seeing what we saw some guys step up, and they're going to play like veterans.
Couple quick predictions here. Anytime you click on Bucknut's front row message board between now and the end of Taraja Mitchell's career, you'll be able to find a thread asking why he didn't play over Tough Borland. And Craig Young is going to get some NFL buzz about 3 or 4 games into the season. In terms of a one-year wonder flash, he's got some Malik Hooker in him because he's got a prototype vibe. Let's finish with this. Your biggest concern coming out of the spring game.
Kicking. What the hell is that? These guys, they're... Come on, man. You can't kick a 30-yard field goal? That really bugged me. The punter, the Australian guy, he was nailing some, getting him out there. That, and I'm still concerned about cornerback. One other thing that you've brought up that is the first time you said this on the air, I was like, oh, wait, I never thought about that. We're going to have a quarterback who's never thrown a pass in a college football game, and the best-looking backs were the youngest guys. So, but how do you put a freshman quarterback in there with a freshman running back? I don't know how you do that. So that's another concern. As talented as they are, this is a whole nother level. It's not just college football. It's elite college football. You get to play for national championships here, and that means you are playing with the big boys. So experience is something I rag on all the time, and man, that would be tough, but we'll see. I mean, if you just put the best guys on the field, we're going to have a freshman quarterback and a freshman running back.
National pundits will tell you, despite all that, they think Ohio State might have the best offense in the country this year, and the defense looked better than I expected. It's all positive right now. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.